And that I know that it will be a blessing to you. And I know, you know, even more than that, I know that it will be a word on time for your circumstance and for your situation right now. And I know that her ability to articulate that will be clear. So be blessed this morning, and I look forward to joining her in a few minutes to just encourage you even more. And if she's open to it, we may even prophesy a little bit today. But God bless you, and Christine, it is all yours.
Thank you, Apostle. Good morning, everyone. I just want to welcome you and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And I just pray that each one of us that throughout this meeting, that our hearts are immersed in Christ and that we come forth as changed and mature people. Father God, this morning we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy. Father, we thank you, Lord God, even in times like these that the technology allows us to still meet together. And Lord, as we look into your word, we look into it as a mirror. We desire to encounter you. And that is our cry. And this morning, Lord God, we just pray that our hearts be immersed in the truth of your word. And we pray that your word be spoken, not man's word, and that your will be done, and that your way be manifested in and through the earth, O God. And we promise always to give you glory, honor, and adoration for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again. I count it a privilege and an honor to share with you this morning. And the title of the teaching is For the Sake of the Call. And the subtitle is The Power of I Am. And some of you that were fellowshipping with us face-to-face may remember that there was a time that I shared a message of the power of I Am. And this the teaching for today is related to that, and that's why the subtitle is there, but it is not the same message. But I just thank you, and I thank Apostle for giving me this opportunity to share the heart of God on the inside of me. And if you can just join us, if you please grab your Bibles. We're definitely going to look into a lot of scriptures today, but at the same time, the scriptures will be on the screen as well. Okay. The title is For the Sake of the Call, and there is the law of first mention, which means that hermeneutically, when rightly dividing the word, it is important to look to see when was a word or a concept first mentioned in the scripture. So that's what the first screen is about. The first mention of the word call was actually in Genesis, Genesis 2, 18 through 23. And I will go ahead and read it for you. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds and to the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs, he took from his side, closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." And again, this is the first time in scripture that the word call is spoken in the word. And it is very interesting that it was humanity, which was in Adam, it was him being given the authority and the responsibility to name, to call forth the name or the identity of all the living creatures. And what is also interesting is that it says at the bottom in verse 23 that Adam, remember Adam, in Adam was both the female and the male. And the female, the woman, as it's called, was taken out of his side. And what is so interesting and so just phenomenal is that he even called her by the title or the name woman. And the reason why was because he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He looked at her and he recognized that they were not separate from one another, that they were one, and that she had been taken out of him. So this was not a separate identity that the Lord had created, but this was actually a part of himself. And he called her woman because she came out of man. Next slide. And then in verse 19, it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. This is the first mention of this in scripture. The word call. And then it's very closely tied to the word name, because whatever he called them, that was its name. And on the screen, you can see the word kara. Kara is the Hebrew word that was translated into English as the word call. And first, it means simply to call out, to recite, to read, to cry out, to proclaim. But that word is also identical to another word, kara, the same word, which means to encounter, to befall, to meet. It's a primitive root that means to encounter, whether accidentally or in a hostile manner. And we see that what he called them was their name. And the Hebrew word for name is Shem. And that means name, reputation, fame, glory, and the name that's designated of God. So even today, many Jews still call the Lord Shem, recognizing his name. They call him by the name. It's a memorial or a monument. And this was the first time that it was mentioned. And it is very significant to the message. I'm just setting a foundation. Next screen, please. The Lord, for as long as I've been teaching and the Lord has been ministering to me, has given me three questions. They're foundational. He always brings them back to me. And that's what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. And the first question is simply, do you know Christ? Do you intimately know him? And we're going to see through the scripture what it really means to intimately know him. Now, last week, Apostle Teresa shared with us Acts 22, which was in the words of Paul, his own account of his experience of what happened on his way to Damascus. But this morning we're going to go back and we're going to look at the first account, which is in Acts 9. This is when it was first written about what happened. I'm starting at verse 1. And again, this is all building a foundation. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, based on the scripture, there is no doubt, there is absolutely no doubt that Paul, Saul, knew Christ. He was not one that walked with Jesus when he was in his ministry on earth, but he was one who knew Christ, and he intimately knew him. And we get a picture into his knowledge of the Lord through this first encounter that he had with him. And as I was just reading, I didn't think about this earlier, but verse 3 stood out to me. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. We know that this first scripture that we read, the first mention of Adam calling the beast of the field, we know that that was before the fall. Adam and then the woman were living in the intention, the original intention of God. And we know by scholars and historical scripts that when it said, "Let there be light," that light was the light of Christ. And we know that they were clothed in light when they were living in the intention. And we thank God for the death and the resurrection of Christ, because that light has been restored. Because it says that suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And my question today is, do you know Christ? Has his light shone in you, through you, upon you? Have you an encounter, and not just one, but have you encountered the Lord? Not church attendance, not saying a prayer, not signing your name to something, not going through the rituals that we're taught since childhood, but have you ever personally encountered the Lord? And our encounter is not going to be the same, but this right here is a picture of an encounter that cannot be denied. And so I just want you to think about that for yourself. And the next slide, please. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Isn't that interesting? That the first encounter that Paul had with the Lord, he sent a message. This is coming down to where he sent a message to let him know how much he must suffer for Christ's name's sake. Meaning, yes, you've encountered me, and you will never be the same. You have encountered me, and you must take on the attitude, the perspective of, for the sake of the call, I will suffer. For the sake of the call, I will endure. For the sake of the call, I will mature. For the sake of the call, I will be transformed into the image and the likeness of Christ. And we see an excellent example. Paul is an excellent example that he lived for the sake of the call. And verse 20 and 21, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He knew Christ. He encountered Christ for real. And he was transformed in the moment. And immediately he responded. If we know Christ, we have responded. If we know Christ, there is an immediate response. There's an immediate transformation. There is an immediate change. So I ask you again, do you know Christ? Have you encountered him? Have you seen evidence, shown evidence of transformation and maturity, which is the message that rings forth throughout all the teachings in the Scribal Conservatory, that God is calling a mature people. Again, do you know Christ? Next slide, please. When we say, do you know Christ? It's not in the typical evangelical way of thinking. It's understanding, have you kara him? Have you encountered him? And it's not just an experience. I don't know why, but we love to talk about, oh, I had this experience and our feelings and all of that. It's beyond experience. Yes, there was an experience that was aligned with Paul's encounter, but it was the encounter that made it an experience. It is a transformational encounter. Remember that word, kara, or awakening from which point you have never and will never be the same. And it's not just one encounter. It's not one time, but it's again and again and again, just as we are born again and again and again and again. And so not only do you know Christ, but when is the last time that we've encountered him? Are we just holding on to a decision that we made some time ago? Or is there evidence that we continually encounter him? And if we look at Paul as an example, there is tons of evidence that he encountered the Lord daily, moment by moment, from that first encounter until his death. Is there evidence of this kara in my life? Is there evidence of this kara in your life? Because if there's evidence of this encounter, other people will encounter it when they encounter us. So just a question to think. And again, the meaning of kara, which I think is phenomenal, that it's translated as call in the English, but it's related to the word encounter. So we all like to say that we are called by the Lord, but where is the evidence of an encounter and more than one encounter? And this is just something for us to self-evaluate and to think about. And then I hear the Lord saying that there are some right here with us today. You have encountered the Lord. You can look back and you can see. And you know that you know that you know that you encountered him. But now you feel dry. You feel as though the flame has gone out. Where is that encounter? And I prophesy and I pray that right now through this message and through what the Lord is speaking to you today, that your flame will be reignited, that you will encounter him again. Why do we read the word and study it? To encounter him. Why do we pray? Not just an act, it's to encounter him. Why do we worship? It's all about the encounter. And we have to stay connected and stay, continue to kara the Lord. So my question is, Do you know Christ? Are you encountering him even right now in this season and this moment of your life? Next slide, please. The next question that the Lord has given me and assigned me to ask is, do you know who you are? And when I say that, I'm not talking about personality. I'm not talking about the physical emotional things that we use to identify ourselves. I'm not even talking about your career, not even as a family member. I'm really talking about, do you know who the I am is within you? Go back to Genesis. What was it? Why was Adam able to call or give name to the animals? It was because covenant had not been broken. He was created with covenant, and he was aligned with the Lord, and he was in communion with the Lord, and the I am within him, the authority of I am, the authority of who God created him to be a perfect image and likeness of him without any failures. Imagine that, what it was like before the fall. God is calling us to return, and he's made a way, and we know that it's the death and the resurrection of Christ that is, and made a way, a bridge for us so that we can return to the garden, not after the fall, but before the fall, where I am naturally manifested himself through Adam and the woman. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Do you know who you are? And she, Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call. We know that the New Testament was written in Greek, but if it had been written in Hebrew, it would have been that name, that word, Kara. His name, and again, if it was written in Hebrew, it would have been Shem, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We know that Jesus came to restore the garden. Jesus came to restore humanity to his original intention, to restore I am. And right here is an example. When he sent Jesus, he commanded that he be Kara, called his identity, and his name Shem, Jesus, because that word Jesus has a meaning. It means he will save his people from their sins. Do you know the I am within you? Do you know your identity? The spiritual identity, the aspect, the DNA of I am that is in you. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 18. And we know that Paul wrote this. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Isn't it interesting that Paul was not one of the 12, but he was the one called to bring the message, to erase your image of Jesus, encounter him again. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. The gospel of creation. He is recreated created. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul was beseeching, saying, don't see or perceive Christ after the flesh. Perceive no man after the flesh. Encounter Christ. See Christ. And not just outwardly, but inwardly. Understand Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am. Do you know who I am is within you? And again, reminding us of the word Shem, which means name, reputation. In God's eyes, what is your reputation? Fame, glory. We do say that God has glory. He is ultimate glory. But do you not know that he has given glory to all of his creation? There's an aspect of glory, and there's an aspect of glory on the inside of you. Maybe we're seeing ourselves after the flesh too much. It's time to awaken to the I am within us. The name that he revealed, which we translate in English as Yahweh or Jehovah. I am that I am is within us. A memorial. We are memorials. What is our memorial saying? A memorial elevating Christ above men. Elevating. Next slide. Apostle, can you please put the next line? All right, something may be happening, so I'm just going to go ahead. Hopefully you have your Bibles. All right, the first question was, do you know Christ? Have you encountered him? The second question is, do you know who you are, which means the I am that is within you? And the third and the last question is, do you know your assignment? Because they all three go together. As soon as Paul encountered Christ, he was awakened to who he was and the I am within him, Christ in him, the hope of glory. And he immediately began preaching. He immediately became a witness. And the scripture is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 43. Luke chapter 4. Verses 42 to 43, because we're going to look at the word assignment in a different way, based on scripture. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and we know this is Jesus, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach. Does it sound familiar? I must preach. I must proclaim the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So we're looking at assignment as not an action, not something that you're called just to do, but we're looking at it as an overarching purpose, your mission. There's many things that the Scribal Conservatory does. But each and everything that we do is tied to a purpose and a mission. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 28. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Again, this is Jesus. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. For the sake of the call, for the sake of the assignment, for the sake of the purpose. Do you know your purpose? It's tied to the identity of I am within you. Do you know your assignment? Do you know your name, your God-given name? Jesus is an example of one who lived for the sake of the call. And he willingly gave up his life for it. Paul is an example of one who knew Christ, knew who he was, and he knew his purpose. And immediately he went to living for the sake of that call and that purpose. And that is what the Lord is calling each and every one of us to do. Do you know your assignment? Now, looking at the word assignment, we want to look at it a different way. It's not your title. It's not the Ephesians 4:11 giftings. It's not even the work. It's not what you do. It's not the gift or the ability, just like we were talking on last week on Wednesday. What is the greatness inside of us? It's Christ. And with the presence of Christ comes a cause, comes a purpose, comes a mission. It comes an identity, becoming the fullness of who God created, called, and ordained you to be. The why of the why of the why of the why. Why is this your passion? Why is this your dream? Getting to the very core, not that only drives you, but it drives the I am within you. The I am when that ignites your heart with passion, as if it is going to consume you. When I encountered the Lord in my adult life, it was something that I will never, ever forget. It utterly consumed me. I literally thought I was going to physically die and that the Lord was going to resurrect me physically, because it was just so utterly consuming. But it's my responsibility to keep my heart burning, to continue to encounter the Lord, not just to look back on some time way back when I encountered him, but to make sure that I'm still encountering him. I continue to be consumed. My one thing is total possession. I contend to be total possessed by the I am on the inside of me. So that every person I encounter, they encounter not just Christine, but they encounter the I am that uniquely expresses itself through Christine. And this has been made available for each and every one of us through the death and the resurrection of Christ. It's not just some special people. Do you know Christ? Do you know who you are? Do you know your purpose and assignment? Again, your name, which is Shem, your reputation before the Lord. The name designating God that lives on the inside of you. The memorial and the monument that your life, the legacy, will be left in the earth. And I leave you with these three questions. Do you know Christ? Have you encountered him? Remember the word kara. Secondly, do you know who you are? Remember the word Shem. God called Jesus by name, and he calls you by name. But we have to encounter him for that name, that identity to be revealed. And thirdly, do you know your assignment? Do you know your purpose? And I'm going to close with a quote. For the sake of the call, living in the authority of I am. Someone in recent times in American history, there's an example of somebody who was ignited by the sake of the call, laid his life down for the sake of the call, and he lived in the authority of I am. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this is a quote, there are some things so dear, some things so precious, there are some things so dear, some things so precious, some things so eternally true that they are worth dying for. And I submit to you that if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That is a quote by a man who knew Christ. He knew the I am on the inside of him. And he had a cause. And he had a specific purpose. We don't have the same cause and the same purpose. But we have an aspect of Christ on the inside of us. And today is the day to surrender to it, to say yes. Allow yourself to be utterly consumed by Christ on the inside of you. To the point where the encounter puts such a drive in you. That's what it did for me. When I encountered the Lord for real in my adult life, it put such a drive for me that I was literally willing to lay down my life. And we are called to remain in that state. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Christ, for his death, his resurrection that has returned us to the Garden of Eden. We thank you for the encounter. And if there are any on this line that have not encountered you, Lord God, I call forth a hunger and a thirst and a faith and a belief, Lord God, that will cause them to encounter you today. That life-changing transformation. And Lord, we thank you for the knowledge of who Christ is. I am is within us. And for the clarifying of our purpose, our assignment. Assurance of purpose, clarity of vision, and that we are a mature people and a maturing people coming into the fullness of our becoming all that you created, called, and ordained us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And again, thank you for sharing this time with us.